Lord is not dead, but he is alive. We have been in a series called The King's Cross for the past like 5 weeks, and last week Pastor Brad brought an amazing message on Palm Sunday. We'll talk a little bit more about that today, but today I want to talk to you on the subject of Jesus meets our greatest need. Can everybody say amen to that? Jesus meets our greatest need. This is what we stand on. This is what we have come to discover, that Jesus meets all the needs of every believer. I have been thinking a lot about the word need, especially in the English language, how much need can mean so many different things and how it meets in different aspects of our lives and our just our day-to-day that we do. Now, need, there are those that we just can't live without. We need food, we need water, we need air. Then in a very close second is that we need sleep, we need love, we need discipline, we need relationships. Sometimes we just need a little help. I work out at the Y over at Great Bridge, and I have a routine. I'm just going to kind of share this with you. I come in, I set down my drink that I'm going to use to help me meet the gains that I've got to meet, you know. So anyway, I get there and I'll tie my shorts. Make sure my shoes are ready to go, and I know what I'm going to do in my workout. So I'm looking around the gym and I'm seeing what is open. What do I go to first? You know, I might be stretching, and then I'll put my AirPods in. I get my music going, and then I'm ready to go. Well, while I'm sitting there this one day, I'm doing all that I just described to you. And I'm looking around, and I'm trying to figure it out. So, guys, you're talking about a couple of minutes. And then literally just right within arm's reach of me, because I'm not looking for it, there's a guy laying on the bench, and the bar is stuck on his chest. Guys, I can't hear him because I've got my music so loud or whatever. And you can kind of see his legs doing like this. He's trying to. And so I go over, and I finally pull the bar up off him. And he spins around and looks at me kind of with half of like, thank you, but also what took you so long? You know, he needed some help, and I almost missed it. Now, then there's the extreme need. I don't know if you guys heard this, but about a week and a half ago, our house was full of smoke. We had a fire somewhere in our house, and Sky calls me at work, and she's like, Dad, and I can hear the alarms going off. Her and Ryder, Morgan was getting married and stuff, and so there was people at Sky's house, so Sky was staying with us, and they're like, she's like, Dad, the house is full of smoke. We don't know where it's coming. And I'm like, and so I'm already booking it to my car, and I'm asking her, do you see flames? You know, where's it coming from? She goes, I don't know. Ryder's trying to find it. Now, guys, I'm going to be very transparent with you. I got on the expressway, and I was doing some serious NASCAR driving. I'm just going to be very, very honest with you. It's usually 8 minutes to get home. I think I did it in 3, and I was moving. Well, anyway, I'm calling her. We're talking on the phone, and when I hung up, I'm literally saying, God, you know, please protect my house. I'm speaking in tongues. Come on, guys. I know what I was like. I was in desperate need. Listen, I needed to get home. I get home. The house has got some smoke in it. But I needed answers, so I called the fire department, and I said, look, could y'all send somebody without sending the trucks and just come and check my house? Well, guys, next thing you know, I've got 4 massive trucks. Here's 2 of them in front of my house. I've got one down on that end of the street with the fire hydrant and another one waiting down at the other end, and I had 16 to 18 firemen and firewomen going all through my house trying to find where this fire came from. Finally, after about an hour and a half, they finally found it. It was in my air handler upstairs where the belt or the motor locked up, and it caused the panel to spark, and it just kind of had a little small little ignition there, whatever. But guys, I wouldn't have been able to sleep that night if I wouldn't have had the answers. Is everybody with me? Because what if it happens again? And so I needed some help. I needed it to be okay. And we have so many things that represent our needs. What you and I feel like we need. And I'm just thankful that we serve a God that knew what our greatest need was. He knows what our greatest need is today, and that he is the only one that can meet all needs. Everybody say all. All needs. So I picked for the resurrection story. I don't know if all of us had the opportunity to read the resurrection story, so we're going to do it today. And I'm going with the story that comes out of the book of John. If you have your Bibles, you want to read through it that way, or we're going to have it up here on the screen. John, starting with verse 1, it says this, 21. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." And Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outrun Peter and reached the tomb first. Now, guys, this is kind of funny because the guy writing this is John, and he's letting us know that he outran Peter to the tomb. He also lets us know that he's the one that Jesus loved. You know what I mean? So there's some pretty funny stuff here. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. And while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings, then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped in and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put them, where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there, and it was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabbani," which means Hebrew, which in Hebrew means a teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. Can you say amen for God's word? Amen. So today, talking about Jesus meets our greatest need, that Jesus knows our greatest need. I love how this whole passage starts, Mary walking to the tomb in this account. Now, I understand that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the writers tell that there are other women that are with her, like the mother of Jesus, Mother Mary, and then you have Joanna. There's some others, but in this account, she is by herself. It is early Sunday morning. It's actually a great account in the Bible that tells us it's good to be early on Sunday morning. Come on, give me an amen. While it was still dark. Everybody say, while it was still dark. So, guys, you have to understand something here is that can you imagine the darkness that she was experiencing literally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Because she is on her way to the tomb feeling all these feelings, and it's dark. The sun is not up. It has not crested. Mary had just witnessed not too long ago where Jesus comes in, this triumphant, beautiful reception of Jerusalem to him, where they're waving palms. Remember last week, you know, Pastor Brad brought that amazing message, and at the end we were waving palms and singing Hosanna, and she had witnessed that. But then 3 days just earlier, she sees her master tried as a criminal, mocked and beaten like an animal, nailed to the cross. And listen to what I'm about to say. She watched him die. The disciples watched him die. Can you imagine how dark it must have been for her and for the disciples? The reason why I love how the resurrection story begins with Mary is because Mary was in need of something that only God could give her. Mary is devastated. She is full of questions. The disciples themselves are in the same boat, and yet Mary, check this out, she is the first to arrive. She is the first to see the stone rolled away. And she is also the first that Jesus appears to. I love it. Jesus knows where we are. Jesus knows what we can handle. And he knows exactly what we need. So let me get into my points. Our greatest need, the first is this, is that we needed his light. Give me an amen. We needed his light. Light helps us when times get dark. Let me say that again. Light helps us when times get dark. I've shared the story before, but I'm going to go in a little bit more detail. I was around 14 years old. I lived in a place called Otter Creek in Little Rock, Arkansas. At the time that we first moved there, I think the community was really, really brand new. And by the time I'm about to tell you this story, they were about 60% built, but they had not put in street lights. So when I say at night it was dark, I'm telling you, unless the moon was out, it was very dark where we lived. And that is the perfect recipe for mischief. Come on. And so me and my friends loved to TP people's houses. And we would do 25 to 50 rolls. And here, let me just show you. And so you take a roll of toilet paper. And what we learned was that when it was windy and you threw this, that the wind would catch it and almost take it down to the next house. So you were wasting toilet paper. So we figured out if you take a rock like this and you stick it in here, now all of a sudden it's got weight. Is this helping anybody this morning? Come on now. Come on. My wife said to Hailey, do not recommend this for kids, but I kind of do. But we were rolling this house, and we're doing a good job. We're probably about 80% through. I had a brand new roll, stuck the rock in there, threw it up into the tree, and it didn't come down. And it was the first throw. And I'm like, oh, it's a waste. And so I climbed up the tree, and it's dark. I can't find it. I'm going higher looking for it. And all of a sudden, you guys, I don't hear anybody laughing anymore. I don't hear toilet paper being thrown. There's no communication taking place. And all of a sudden, I see the owner of the house's car pull into the driveway. And I'm up in the tree, and it's dark. And so they pull in, they turn off the car lights, and I'm up there, and I hear the mom get out with the two kids, and the kids go, Mommy, look what they did to our house. And she goes, I know, they're bad people, baby. And I'm like, oh, you know. But anyway, I'm up there. And so, but I don't know if you've ever been in the dark, and you have that feeling like somebody's looking at you. And so, guys, I'm in the tree, and I'm looking down, and I'm like, is there somebody standing looking at me, you know, through the tree? And you can almost see like the dad standing there going, am I seeing somebody up in my tree, you know? And all of a sudden he goes, let's go in. I'm going to get my flashlight. So, guys, when the lights of the house came on, all of a sudden now I can see the ground. And I'm looking down the tree, where can I drop? And I was up. I was about 15 feet up in the air, and I'm looking down, and I'm going, I got to go. And so, guys, just like you see in the movie, I'm hitting every branch, and you know, and I'm coming down. And when I hit the ground, I stunt rolled. Who knows what a stunt roll is? I mean, as soon as my feet hit the ground, I'm rolled, and I'm going off the property. And the guy comes out with a flashlight, and he's yelling at me and swearing at me, and I just disappear into the dark. Darkness brings confusion. Guys, we know people, or it could even ourselves. We try to maintain control of something that has become too hard to manage. It has become so dark that we can barely get up and face the day. Listen, I am not judging you. I have been there. I've been there where I didn't want to get out of bed, where it was so hard to put my feet on the ground. I've been there. I know what we all go through. But guys, we do these things that we try to control ourselves. And I want you to listen to this. We say things like this: if I could just change my job, things will get better. Or if I could just maybe move out of the city or move out of the state, I know that this is going to be, it's going to become okay. But and my marriage is struggling, so there has to be somebody else that I can turn to. We know this for a fact, that the statistics are changing with men and women, where it used to be so high for men, but now it's with women, is that you have about almost a 50-50 ratio of men and women in bad marriages that are turning to pornography. And what happens is it causes even more isolation. We have, and then the last result is, oh, I got to go into somebody else's arms for this to get better. We know alcohol. We know what drugs does. We know that helps us forget a day, but it doesn't pull us out of our darkness. We get into relationships. I'm not talking about sexual or physical. I'm talking about people that we allow into our circles, into our lives, that are doing us no good. Maybe you've heard somebody say this, I just need a change of scenery. Well, when they say that, what's going on is, if that's not being turned over to Christ, needing a change of scenery means I can control this. I'm going to try to control this. And when life becomes dark, we struggle, and we struggle in many ways. We start asking, like, what am I seeing? What has happened here? How has this happened? And we start hearing things that aren't there. We start seeing things that aren't there. We start hearing things that aren't true. You might even say, I feel like I'm in a season of darkness, and I don't know how to escape it. And when you go through dark seasons, it's like it will never end. Pastor Matt, I just feel like I'm in a constant state of depression. Well, what does depression feel like? Guys, it feels like darkness. Is everybody with me? Heartache, anxiety, grief, sorrow. They can all feel like a darkness that we cannot control. I love it how Jesus addresses this, and he does this in the book of John. In John 3, 17 through 19, he's having this conversation with Nicodemus, and he says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And here's the answer. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Isn't that awesome? Guys, that's it. He says, why is Jesus telling us that? Because we need it. We needed it. Look at Jesus talking to the Pharisees in John 8, 12. "Then Jesus said, I am the light to the world, and those who embrace me will experience life-giving light, and they will" what? What does it say? "They will never, never walk in darkness." We needed his light. We needed his joy. I think about King David. How many dark seasons did that great king go into? But yet he writes in Psalms 35, "Weeping may endure for a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." Come on, you guys shout joy. Do it one more time. Say joy. That's power, you guys. And God has that. Jesus has that, and he can give it to us immediately. It is always darkest before the dawn. Is everybody with me on that? We needed light. We needed his light. We needed his joy. Church, Jesus is alive and he is here. He is capable of meeting any need we could possibly have. I just want to encourage you to keep fighting, to keep pushing when you feel like you have nothing left. Let me say it this way. Keep hanging on, because there is joy coming in the morning. See, Mary is walking to the tomb. Literal and physical darkness surrounds her. No hope. She's confused, she's grieving, but she is just about to encounter the risen Savior. Her heart is about to go from complete darkness to overflowing joy. And that's what I love about this. She is about to experience that life-giving light. And we sometimes put so much focus on our dark season that we forget who we are. We forget who we serve. We serve the risen Savior. Give me an amen. We forget that he has power. Everybody say power. We have his power, listen to what I'm about to say, to win the day, to actually win our days. How many of us could use that kind of power? And that's what is available to it. Listen, it was dark in the days of Jesus. We know this. We know that was a dark time. But guys, it's still dark today. Amen? We still need the light of Jesus. The worst seasons of your life, typically, everybody say typically. The worst seasons of your life typically will give birth to the greatest season you have ever experienced. I'm just speaking that out. You know, the music industry makes billions of dollars kind of telling us how to deal with dark days. Rock, I'm just going to pick these, put these together. Rock, pop, and R&B. They will talk about sex. They will talk about drugs. They will talk about money. They'll actually tell you little quick answers like, if you just get up and dance, your troubles will go away. You know what I mean? But I like how country handles it, country genre. I'm not a big country guy. I'm not a country music dude. Now, I know they talk a lot about beer and stuff like that, but I like it when they say, man, why don't you just get in your truck? You know what I mean? Go take a drive in your truck and put your girl next to you on the bench seat and just ride around in your truck. Or when they say, go get on a tractor and go work in the field and get some dirt on your boots. You know what I mean? It's like to handle all this. I like it when it says, just go and hang out with your dog. You know what I mean? That's a good one too. But my favorite is this one. Throw out a fishing line and watch your bobber go up and down. Come on now. you can't beat this stuff. But I'm thankful for Jesus. Because all these things that I just named off, it really doesn't handle dark days. Only the light of Jesus does. And God knew one of our greatest needs could only be met by sending his son to us. And that Jesus would be the light that would bring us out of darkness. Give me an amen. Our greatest need, the second thought is this. We needed his light and we needed his cross. Not just any cross. It had to be his cross. And we talked about this briefly in week 1. I don't know if you guys remember me talking about this, but crucifixions were going on hundreds of years before Jesus came around. And they went on for hundreds of years after his death. Guys, they were crucifying criminals. They were crucifying leaders of countries that they would take over. They would line their streets in going into Rome or into a province with people crucified just to put fear in people so that they would know not to come into the city and cause any trouble. They would crucify people that were against the state. But guys, here's the thing is, it was not just any cross, it was his cross. Not a king's cross, but the king's cross. It was the King of Kings cross that brought us into relationship with our Father. I want to read you this out of Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. It says this: Jesus understood his mission. He understood his purpose. The only way we would ever be able to know his Father would be him dying on a cross for our sins. He existed in the form of God, yet he gave no thought to seizing equality with God as his supreme prize. Instead, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. He humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man and was obedient. He was a perfect example in his death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. And he has now been given the greatest of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone will one day submit to this name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. And every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God, his Father. Come on, let's put our hands together for the word of the Lord. That's already a powerful scripture, but man, that translation is amazing. But I want to give you another one that we kind of read through sometimes. We might just go past it. Matthew 27:37, it says this: And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Now here's the crazy thing. I know that they were doing that to mock Jesus, but the amazing thing is that the Romans almost actually had it right. Because Jesus was the King of the Jews. But guys, it was more than that. He is the King of the Kings. He is the King of the world. He is the King of the universe. Jesus is the King all knees will bow to and every tongue will confess, and that all, everybody say all, will worship for eternity. If Thor, the God of Thunder, and Thanos, the warlord of Titan, were actually real, they would also bow down to him. It was Jesus who carried our cross. We needed his sacrifice. We needed his blood to be shed. We needed his forgiveness. It was his cross to bear. Again, not a king's cross, but the king's cross. You guys, here's the truth. Before Sunday, we got Friday. And Pastor Dana brought an amazing message on Good Friday, just telling us and talking us through the cross and what it did for us. And so it's important for us to understand that. He endured the cross on Friday, and he arose from the tomb on Sunday. They stretched him wide. They hung him high. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put lashings all over his body, and they put a spear into his side. We needed, everybody say needed. We needed this to happen. Jesus paid the price for our sin and tore the veil from top to bottom that stood between us and God. In Colossians 2:14, it says this: He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. We needed his cross. Now, before I go into this third thought, I want to read Colossians 2:13, the verse right before it. It says this: This realm of death describes our former state. For we were held in sin's grasp, but now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are alive and forgiven of all our sins. Hallelujah. So here's the third thought. Our greatest need, we needed his light, we needed his cross, and we needed his resurrection. God understood this. He understood that we needed a resurrection Jesus, a resurrected Jesus. Guys, he also understood that we have this need to see and believe. Now, I understand Jesus had that moment with Thomas. He shows him the scars in his hands, the holes in his feet. He puts, lets him put his hand into his side. And Thomas is like just amazed, and now he believes. And he goes, Thomas, it's awesome that you've done these things and you believe, but there are those that haven't seen me and they believe. But he understands that we are flesh, that we are human, that there's things that help us with our faith, and God's okay with that. Guys, look at what we read in the scripture in John 20. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found, or she saw, depending on the translation, that the stone had been rolled away. He stooped and looked in, talking about John, and saw the linen wrappings lying there. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed, or he saw, the linen wrappings lying there. And then the disciple who reached the tomb first also went, and he saw and he believed. No matter how you look at it in translations or what translation you're reading it from, there's still Greek. And the Greek that brings the truth out of this, there's two words. One of them represents, it's called blepo. And blepo means this, to discern mentally, to perceive, like you're trying to discover what took place in this tomb. And then we have the word theoreo. And theoreo talks about where we get our word theorize, where they went in and they're looking attentively. They're surveying. They're trying to theorize what exactly took place in this tomb. And you see, Jesus didn't have to appear to Mary and to the disciples. He didn't have to do that. Let me just talk about this a little bit. When Jesus was on the cross and he was dying for our sins, we know this, that at any time, Jesus could have called a host of angels to come and take him off the cross. We know that. We know that he went ahead and he went there for us. He became that sacrifice. He died, and when they took him off the cross and they put him in the tomb, when he was resurrected, he didn't have to appear to us. Guys, they went in, they saw the linens there, his body's not there, the stone was rolled away. It's all you had to do was go, he has been resurrected. But he did. He did appear to us. He appeared to over 500 people before he ascended into heaven. We know that in the book of Acts, he also appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus. Jesus wanted those who were scattered and afraid, those who were depressed in a dark place, that thought it was over, to know that he is alive. And Jesus understood our need for proof. I have never seen the physical body of Jesus. My brother has had encounters with Jesus in dreams. I've had God cut my hair in a dream. I've shared that before. But I have never seen the physical body of Jesus. But I believe. And I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe that he is resurrected and that he is alive. Amen? And guys, here's the thing. That's called faith. That's you and me. That's me going out. Now, I'm looking. This is what I found, this is what I saw, and this is what I believe. Think about the power. Everybody say power. The power of the resurrection. You know, I caught myself thinking about how much power must have been put on display. The force, the might, the energy of the resurrection of Jesus that it brought to the tomb, that it brought to Jerusalem and to the world. You see, we know this, is that when Jesus died on the cross, this is what we know. We know that the temple curtain was ripped from top to bottom. We know that the skies grew dark around the world. We know that a great earthquake shook the planet. It didn't just shake Jerusalem. It shook the planet. And that graves were bursting open. And that he was the final payment for our sins. That's incredible power. But when you think about the resurrection of Jesus and the power that God used to raise him, it made me ask a question, and I want everybody to pay attention to the question I'm about to ask. What is the most powerful source of energy in the universe that we live in? Not the most powerful in the U.S., we know, not the most powerful in the world. We know that we have this place out in Geneva, Switzerland. And they have a thing called the Large Hadron Collider. And it produces energy to where they want particles to collide. And it's a very, very powerful source of energy. But I'm asking, what is the most powerful source of energy in our universe? And here's the answer. And there's a picture that's going to come up for you. It is gamma ray bursts. GRBs. Everybody say GRB. So guys, listen. GRBs, these are bursts of energy in light form. Listen to what I'm about to say. that come from a supernova. When the largest stars in our universe die. Now, let me tell you what I've, in some of my reading, I've been doing a lot of, I'm not an astronomer, I'm not trying to act like I am, but I came across some writings that was talking about some of the largest stars in our universe, that there are stars out there, not a star, stars out there that are 100 million times bigger than our sun. So when they go into a supernova, they release these things called GRBs. They can last from seconds or for several hours, that when the star implodes, it forms either a neutron star or a black hole. Now, I listened to some YouTube of these astronomers talking about black holes and neutron stars. Guys, they can't even fathom the power that comes from a neutron star or from a black hole. They know that they exist, but they can't fathom the power that they put off, the energy that they put off. The sources of the most of most GRBs are billions of light years away from the Earth. A typical burst, now listen to what I'm about to say, releases as much energy in a few seconds than what our sun will release in its entire lifetime. So you're talking about power that we can't fully understand, but can I say this before I keep going? God created every one of them. Is everybody with me on this? So as powerful as they are, they're still bowed down to the Creator himself. I've even heard that if a star in the Milky Way, which is very close to us, did what's going on billions of light years away from us, and that direct light we were in, the Earth was in line of that, we go into extinction. That's how powerful these gamma ray bursts are. And as powerful as a neutron star or a black hole might be, and as powerful as a gamma ray burst are claimed to be, none of these three mentioned have the power to bring the dead back to life. Come on, put your hands together. That's power. Only our God has the power to bring the dead back to life. It was his power. Everybody say power. That has brought Jesus out of the tomb. Think about the power the universe witnessed when Jesus came out of the tomb. There was so much power that bodies were jumping out of graves. Matthew got a little ahead of himself when he wrote his book because he talked about the crucifixion and he was talking about the graves popping up. But what happened was when Jesus was resurrected, that power filled our earth so much that people were coming out of graves and presenting themselves to people that they knew that they were dead. That's powerful. That's something that I can't even imagine. And I love that all three, I love the idea that all three of the Godhead had everything to do with the resurrection. Just like with creation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they all had something to do with the resurrection. You guys check this out. God, Acts 2:32, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Acts 2:24, God destroyed the cords of death and raised him up because it was impossible for death's power to hold him prisoner. Acts 10:40, but God raised him from the dead 3 days later, allowing him to be seen openly. Look at Jesus. John 2:19, Jesus answered, destroy this temple, talking about himself, and I will raise it up again in 3 days. John 10:18, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay down when I want to and also to take it up again. Isn't that good? John 11:25, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Enough said. Mic drop. You know what I'm saying? I am the resurrection and the life. Now look at the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered and died for sins once and for all by his body being put to death. And by being raised to life by who? The Spirit. Romans 8:10 through 11. This is one of my favorite scriptures because it puts all three into the scripture. Look at this. It's amazing. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give you life to, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Guys, is that just the best? What an amazing scripture. Now that is power. That is power. That is resurrection power. One of our greatest needs was his resurrection. Jesus being alive gives us hope. Give me an amen. It's because of his light. It's because of his death for our sins and his resurrection that we have the hope of eternal life. This world is not my home. This shell that I live in right now is not going to be the final end of my story. Is everybody with me? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what darkness that you are dealing with, but I want you to know that is not the end of your story because of what Jesus did coming out of the tomb. Listen, church, this is Easter Sunday. This is a day that you should really consider that if Jesus did not come out of the tomb, then this is just a big waste of time. What we did back here at the baptismal, big waste of time. All the worship that we did this morning, nonsense if he did not come out of the tomb. Guys, let me just say this. Thank you for wearing your Easter best. You look great. You really do. You look amazing. Have an incredible lunch. Eat as many chocolate bunnies as you want to. And let's all go Easter egg hunting. 1 Corinthians 15, 14 talks about this. And if Christ has not been raised, all our preaching has been for nothing, and your faith is useless. But if he did resurrect from the tomb, there is nothing more important on earth than what we are doing right here, right now. And I have to consider that. You and I have to come to our own conclusion, and most importantly, we have to believe. Look at this in Ephesians 1, 19 to 20. It literally talks about this. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Let me say this again. For us who believe. Can y'all just say that with me? For us who believe. That power is available to us. Let me call up the worship team. Can we put our hands together and let's thank our worship team? Come on. Yes. Amen. Our greatest need, we needed his light. We needed his cross. We needed his resurrection. And lastly, we need his return. Guys, we need his return. That's like one of the last things he's got to do. And that's us, him coming back for us. We need his return. We spent 5 weeks as a church. If you've just started attending with us, go back and look at our sermons. It's somewhere in February where we spent 5 weeks talking about the soon return of Jesus. And I promise you, it's going to be a blessing to you. This is going to happen. He is coming back. Praise God. And I want to show you guys something that you might not have ever seen in the resurrection story. And I pray it's a blessing for you. And we just read it. It comes out of the book of John, chapter 20, verse 7. And here's what it says. Look at it carefully with me. Then Simon Peter arrived and he went inside the tomb. He noticed the linen wrappings lying everywhere. And while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Now, in other translations, and especially in the Message, which is up there for you, it says that the napkin or the kerchief was not lying with the linen cloths, but separately, neatly folded by itself. You say, well, Pastor Matt, why is that important? Well, let me tell you something. Let me just tell you a little bit about Hebrew culture. When a rabbi or the master of the house was eating food, when he was not done with his meal, but he had to get up to go do whatever he has to do, he would fold his napkin and he would lay it to the side, letting everybody in the house know, don't touch my plate because I'm still doing this. Now, when he was done, if he pushed his chair back, he would just take it, fold it up, and he would just throw it onto his plate. And what that would do, it would let the servants or the people of the house know that this man is done and to come and clear his plate. Now, guys, what is so significant about this? Well, here it is. Jesus folded the cloth. And why? Because he is coming back. Because he is not done. Come on. Amen. He is alive because we need him. He is coming back. And I want to encourage you that Jesus is not only alive, but he is with God. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise the Lord. Guys, I'm a little pumped up right now because, listen, Jesus did not forget about you. He is not done doing life with you. He is still Emmanuel. He is still God with us. He is still Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. He is coming back for you. Somebody give him some praise, amen? Come on, Harvest.